Hello, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Here I'm at this plaque to Arthur Sullivan. Not Sir Arthur Sullivan, the composer, but to Arthur Sullivan, the Australian soldier. So Sullivan was born at Prospect, South Australia, in 1896. He's Irish on his father's side, I think Scots on his mother's side. Doesn't take away from him being Australian, of course. Anyway, he grew up in that small town, and he left school in his mid-teens, as was normal back then, and became a bank clerk for the National Bank of Australia. Remember, when he was born, Australia didn't exist as a united country. There were the several different colonies. They only formed the Commonwealth of Australia in 1900. So the First World War was on, and Australia debated whether they're gonna have conscription or not. I can't remember the name of the Prime Minister of Australia at the time, but he said that Australia would help the United Kingdom to its last man and its last shilling. It was hotly debated whether, as volunteers were not forthcoming in sufficient numbers by 1916, would they make men serve? A referendum was held on it. It was voted against. And the Catholic Church in Australia was one of the major forces campaigning against. Anyway, 1918, that summer, he volunteered for the Australian Army. He began training, and then the war ended. Actually, I think he was shipped to the United Kingdom when the armistice was declared. So he'd only been in the army not even 6 months. The Australian Imperial Forces are then called it. And that's why people have been singing Australia, well, if England wants a hand, well, here it is. Australians then calling the United Kingdom the mother country, sometimes literally their mother country. I know Australia is very, very different now, particularly its ethnic composition. Many people have got no ancestral link with Ireland or Great Britain. But he really wanted to fight, and he left the Australian Army, demobilised, volunteered for the British Army. He was a private. He never made it a corporal, but it was part of the Allied interventions in the Russian Civil War against the Bolsheviks. He's fighting alongside the Whites against the Reds, where he distinguished themselves, coming under fire from the Red Army. Anyway, for his gallantry that day, he was awarded the Victoria Cross. That's the greatest decoration the British Army could bestow on someone. It says, for valour. Okay? Victoria Cross is in Queen Victoria, and they were used. The crosses were made from melting down Russian cannon captured at Sevastopol in 1854. It's still going, so there is a very, very high bar set for that one. And it was one of not that many Australians to be awarded them, not being demeaning towards Australians, but you know, very, very few people awarded them. Remember, just simply because Australia had a much, much smaller population back then. These days, the United Kingdom outnumbers Australia about 2-1. In those days, it was like more like 20-1. So he left the British Army, returned to Australia, carried on his career, married in 1928, had three children. And then George V died the 20th of January, 1936, and then his ill-starred son reigned for 11 months, Edward VIII, before abdicating. So Edward VIII's younger brother, George VI, became king, although he was known as Albert or Bertie in the family. So the coronation was going to go ahead in May 1937. The coronation originally intended for... Edward VIII was going to be for his younger brother, George VI. And so, the empire still existed back then. The monarchy was uncontroversial in Australia. I know a lot of people want to dump the monarchy these days, but not so in 1936. It's going to be held in early May before the trees were in full leaf. You see this, because that would obstruct people's views, not from above, not these particular trees, but from other vantage points. So he came here, they sailed, and he did not like being having to obey the army's rules anymore. Got into various scrapes on the long voyage, stopping in several ports on the way. Finally got here, and they were training, whatever, to make sure their drill was good enough for the parade. He was lionized by the media. And one evening, that 9th of April, he was getting out of a taxi. He was going back to Wellington Barracks, because this is just here, where they're being accommodated. He's tried to avoid all the photographers and the people who wanted his autograph. And he slipped on the pavement. I don't know exactly here. Was it exactly here? I mean, we wouldn't have had this fence here at the time. And he slipped and hit his head on the road and died. It's astonishing, a guy who'd been through all these battles died in something that prosaic. So that was the end of him, age 40, and his body was laid out over there. You see that's the guards, that's Wellington Barracks. Beyond that is the guards' chapel. People filed past it to pay their respects. 3 days of mourning amongst the Australian contingent for the coronation. And he was shipped back to Australia, where his mortal remains were cremated and his ashes interred with honour there. Their memorial's been erected to him. You see a model of his Victoria Cross for valour, with a lion atop the crown. Australian Commonwealth military forces, as though rays of light shining off the crown. That's about Arthur Sullivan. Well, thank you for watching my video, everyone. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Look forward to seeing your comments. All right, so there is a bit of Wellington Barracks. It's a stone throw from Buckingham Palace. But like I say, when, you know, the height of summer, you can't see very well because sometimes all the leaves are blocking your view. And the Guards Chapel is abutting this. Okay, as in Buckingham Palace is that way. Can you see through the gaps? You see the Portland Stone? There, that's a bit of Buckingham Palace. That's how close we are. Right, toodle pip.